John Allen, you're running for Southport's Board of Aldermen, Ward 2.
Yes.
Why did you decide to run?
Well, I love Southport, first of all. I've lived there full-time for about 5 years, and I think my background and experience lends itself well to being an alderman and to helping the city, and ultimately that's what I really want to do, is help Southport develop and become better. And also, frankly, there are some issues that have occurred, and I think we need some new members and new direction on the Board of Aldermen, and I'd like to be a part of that.
Have you ever held elected office before?
I have not held elective office before.
Have you run for it?
No, I have not. I do have 20-plus years experience working in local government, including lately I've been on the Southport Planning Board for the last couple of years, and I've served as a Southport City Planner, actually. And it's always something that I've thought about doing when I retired and had time to devote to it. My great-grandfather was actually mayor of Greensboro, and my grandfather was a county commissioner. So it's kind of something that I've always thought about doing.
So it might be in your DNA.
It may be.
So you just retired last year.
Yes.
From a career in what?
In economic development, city planning. Worked for a variety of local governments and nonprofits throughout the state, including the city of Winston-Salem, where I served as development director, and Mecklenburg County, where I was economic development director. Then when I moved down to Southport in 2014, I was a planner for the city of Southport for a couple of years, and then have done a little planning and consulting stuff since I left there a couple of years ago.
So let's start general then and get specific.
Okay.
When you think about your planning experience, your local government planning experience, what is the concept or the protocol that you think is missing from Southport?
Yeah, it's really, I think, a long-term planning, basically, especially on the fiscal side. I think we very much need a capital improvement program in Southport to try to address some of these large capital projects, expensive projects that we've got. There are things that we could do to improve the quality of life in Southport, some transportation-related things, some pedestrian-related things. We, of course, got the sewer plant, which I'm sure we'll talk more about. The basic infrastructure underlying that, the wastewater treatment and water treatment, the pipes underground that are carrying all that, our electrical system, what to do with the old courthouse, city hall building, the waterfront improvements, the list goes on and on.
You served as economic development director for Mecklenburg County, development
yes.
director for
yes.
the city of Winston-Salem.
Mm-hmm.
Those two areas are much larger than yep. quaint little Southport.
Yes, they are.
How would you foster healthy growth in Southport, which of course it needs to a degree, without losing the reasons that people like to be there?
Yeah, they are very different, obviously. Mecklenburg County and Winston are very different from Southport. In Winston and Mecklenburg, we're obviously chasing new jobs and new companies, corporate headquarters, large manufacturing plants, and obviously Southport is not looking for those types of investments. We're really about managing the largest component of our growth, and what we've really got to manage is residential development, because we're not going to have a large industrial park or a large industrial plant come in. We've got a couple, fortunately, that are there now, the Duke Power Energy plant and Archer Daniels Midland. So there are there's a job base, I think, that exists in Southport.
Is that something that you need to grow?
No, I don't think so, because we're so heavily skewed towards a retired population. And really, a lot of, people say Southport's growing very rapidly, and it is to a degree, but a lot of the growth that's occurring is really outside of Southport. It's St. James, it's Oak Island, it's Bowling Springs Lake, et cetera. And we're impacted by that. We have to try to do what we can to mitigate the negative impacts of that on us.
What are the negative impacts of that peripheral growth?
Yeah, well, it's sometimes overwhelmed. The city is overwhelmed with visitors is really the biggest thing. So you've got parking issues, you've got traffic issues, you've got pedestrian issues, you've got conflicts between pedestrians and cars. And we've we've got to do a better job of managing some of those conflicts and making the city safe, a safe place for visitors and our residents.
So let's talk about the wastewater plant.
Okay.
There has been a lot of public criticism over the sale of the water treatment plant. And one alderman, Karen Mosteller, urged, following the UDO and consulting with the planning board, what do you think about the decision that the Board of Aldermen ultimately made on that front?
Yeah, I think that the process that the aldermen took to get to the sale of it was inherently flawed and unfair to the citizens of Southport. It was done largely out of public view, behind closed doors, with very minimal public input. It's created a tremendous sense of mistrust and distrust between the citizens and the board. And one of the things that I'm really committed to is to trying to correct that through more transparent decision making and greater citizen input into these types of decisions.
You know, I'll be honest with you, we hear that a lot from candidates across municipalities. We've heard people from almost every municipality say, we need more transparency, mm-hmm. we need more communication between local government and citizens. Mm-hmm. That's easy to say, and
sure.
It's almost always true.
Mm-hmm.
What are some concrete ways that you could actually implement that?
Right. Well, I think, first of all, you can have more time allowed for citizen input at meetings. Currently, the Southport Board of Aldermen have a 3-minute limit per person on how long you can speak. I think that needs to be raised, definitely. And I think it's just a matter of the elected officials need to take personal responsibility for doing things in a different way. It's I guess, as you point out, it's easy to say. It's harder to do. It takes longer to involve the citizens. You have to put out more effort. You may have to have some town hall meetings above and beyond the regularly scheduled Board of Aldermen meetings in our case. But it's largely a matter of just of making the effort, quite frankly.
It's hard to
make that effort, I guess, for people once they get in. But I think it's up to the voters ultimately to hold our feet to the fire and make us do it.
So what do you do when you're on the Board of Aldermen and you understand, or you think you understand, an issue thoroughly, and you think that the populace doesn't really understand it in mm-hmm. the nuanced way that you do,
mm-hmm.
and you know, option A is really the right option, but the populace is pushing for option B.
Sure.
It's hard to sit there and listen to that.
Right.
And feel like you're here, you know, you're... And I'm not saying that's what happened in this case, the mm-hmm. wastewater treatment plant, but there is always that tension between how much time do we have to spend listening to citizens who don't have their facts straight or who are just reacting emotionally.
Right.
How would you navigate that?
Yeah, well, I think you really got to do it before you get to that point. You've got to put more information out through social media, on the website, work with the local media better to get the actual factual data out there. And honestly, I don't think that our Board of Aldermen in Southport have done a very good job of that, especially related to the new wastewater treatment plant. There's a lot of misinformation out there. They have not done a good job of putting out the actual facts, and so the vacuum gets filled with non-facts. I think you've also got, as an elected official, you've got to take time to sit there and explain why you're voting a certain way. We've had a lot of votes in Southport where the votes are just taken. There's almost no commentary from the elected officials as to why they're doing something. You've got to provide that. That's an opportunity to provide that information to the citizens of why option A is better than option B, for example.
So this new plant, then, mm-hmm. Southport is phasing out of their agreement with Brunswick County,
right,
because they've determined that they can do a more efficient, probably better job independently. Do you agree with that decision?
Based on what I know right now, I do. However, I'm going to go, I hate to keep harping on the same thing, but I think the board's done a very poor job of putting the actual facts out there for people to know. And honestly, at this point, I don't even have all the facts. I have gotten, there was a third-party independent study that the city hired an engineering firm to do that did an analysis and comparison between the two options of leasing wastewater treatment capacity from the county and constructing their own wastewater treatment plant. And that analysis basically says it costs essentially the same to do either one. And there's definite advantages to owning our own. So if they cost the same, you know, then we should probably own our own.
Why that
information has not been disseminated to the public at all.
Well, as a local government planner, why is owning your own better than working with the county? So is it going to serve all of the people in this region better to have a centrally run and operated kind of system, or is it better for all these municipalities to start popping up their own systems?
It would be far better if we had a centralized system where everybody was an equal partner in it. The problem is the deal that the county, as I understand the deal that the county presented us, it did not make us an equal partner in it. It was essentially like leasing a car, not like purchasing part of the car factory, if you will. So the advantage specifically to what we're doing, what the city's looking at doing now, is we get a million gallons per day of treatment capacity versus 750,000 that the county has offered to lease us. So we have additional capacity. Right now we're using at peak about 650,000 gallons a day. So it's not going to take long to where we're going to max out on that 750,000 gallon per day allotment the county's offering us. At that point, we're going to have to spend more money, another large amount of capital investment, for the county to once again expand their treatment capacity to accommodate our additional need. By building our own plant, we already have a million gallons, which is going to serve us for a long time.
Right. Sewer rates have gone up, and yes, at an August board meeting, a couple of residents raised concerns about the rates being out of sync with the size of their property and
their usage. People,
right. And people also raise concerns about senior citizens on fixed incomes.
Yes.
What's your answer to that? Do you agree with those? Do you think those are valid concerns?
Yes, absolutely. One issue we've, and again, this is a complex issue, and one problem we've got is we have a lot of, in Southport, a lot of non-resident property owners. So you got a lot of houses that sit there a majority of the time that aren't essentially using any water or sewer. You've got another group of citizens, especially some elderly fixed income people, who are using a very small amount. The way our rates are set up right now is the base charge includes 3,000 gallons per month of usage. And a lot of some of the senior citizen fixed income folks are using only a fraction of that. So, you know, one obvious solution to that would be to look at how we could have a base rate with a much smaller minimum gallons per month usage. The problem with that, though, is then you've got all these houses that sit empty all the time. And so if you lower the base rate, then you're not going to have enough money to properly serve the debt service that we've got to have on either building a new plant or going with the county, because they both require about a $25 million capital cost.
But we
need to look at it and see if there is something we can do to the rates to assist some of our folks that are having trouble with the rates that we have.
Does that mean that some of these senior citizens, lower income senior citizens who are there year round, are subsidizing second homeowners?
No, not really, because everybody's paying the same rate. If we were to provide, and that's and I'd also say state law requires everybody to pay the same rate. So nobody can, in fact, subsidize anybody. It would be nice if maybe we could put in some kind of a surcharge for people that don't ever use it, you know, in order to lower rates for others. But state law does not allow us to do that.
After the last couple of storms, there were some power outages. Florence was especially problematic in 2018.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And there's been talk, of course, and you mentioned this earlier, about what the options are so that Southport doesn't get completely cut off. There's one feeder line now to Southport.
Right.
And so if that one vulnerable line goes,
which apparently it did the other week. I think we lost power for most of the day, and apparently it was because that line went out.
Right. So what's the answer to that?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't really speak real intelligently to that, quite frankly. I don't know. I mean, the obvious answer is, hey, let's build a second primary feeder line. What the cost of that is, how feasible that is, whether Duke would participate in some of the cost or we'd have to bear the burden of the cost of that, and whether or not it could even come from somewhere, from another direction. I mean, if they both feed back to the same substation, then I don't know you really accomplish much. So I don't know. It's certainly something that I would be in favor of looking into.
The Board of Aldermen also voted to amend the city's Unified Development Ordinance, and that was another controversial move.
Yes.
Some people have accused the board of amending the ordinance just to pave the way for one particular project,
mm-hmm.
the additional dock space in the marina for a dry dock that's
right.
50 feet high.
Yep.
How do you perceive the way all that happened? And mm-hmm. and what would you have done if you were on the board?
Yeah. So it's a very complex issue. And again, I think it goes back to lack of transparency and lack of citizen involvement on the part of the current Board of Aldermen. They did, in fact, do a retroactive change to the UDO that took out the provision that required the planning board to review the sale of any publicly owned property. How that's frankly even legal, I don't know, but I guess the town attorney blessed it, so it's okay. I mean, so it got done. It is what it is at this point. I would never have voted to do something like that. Retroactive changes to the UDO are just absurd in my mind and frankly anti-democratic. So I certainly wouldn't have voted for that. I would never have voted for the deal the way it was structured to sell the old wastewater treatment plant to the marina. I'm not saying I would never have voted to sell the property at all, but again, the process that the board went through was not transparent. It was not explained well enough. I have no faith that we got the best deal that we could have gotten either monetarily or in future public access from that deal.
And the city's planning board reviewed the proposed amendment and found it
yes.
to be inconsistent with the city's land use plan and did not recommend its approval.
Right.
But so when you're faced with a recommendation from your planning board,
mm-hmm.
it's a recommendation.
Yes.
What do you do?
Right. Well, again, I mean, I think you have to look at that recommendation, look at the big picture, because you are always doing, and one of the things I am committed to doing, is always doing what's best for the greater good in Southport. So when the planning board makes a recommendation like that, and it goes against what the aldermen are looking at doing, you just have to look at it, consider it. Does it make sense? Is this right?
When is it appropriate?
And make that decision.
Well, when is it appropriate to go against the recommendation of the planning board?
I mean, that's, I don't know. That's hard to say hypothetically. I mean, because every situation, there's differences and nuances to every situation. So I don't, if the recommendation of the planning board is due to something in the UDO, then I think the aldermen are bound to follow that because they ultimately own the UDO and control what's in it and what comes out of it. It's hard to answer that hypothetically.
The police department debacle, the Star mm-hmm. News noted recently that there's still not been a trial for the two men
yep.
who were fired and facing charges
mm-hmm.
about working other jobs while they were on the clock for the taxpayers
right.
in the city of Southport. But where do you think the department is now? And in hindsight, is there any role the Board of Aldermen could have or should have played so that shook out differently?
Yeah, as far as where the police department is now, I think it's in a much, much, much better place. I think Todd Coring is doing an excellent job. I think a lot of citizen trust has been rebuilt. I think he's done a great job hiring some new officers and getting police services back up to where they need to be in Southport and where citizens like to see them be. You know, as far as what the alderman's role maybe could have been in trying to, you know, prevent that situation, it's hard. It's easy to say, yeah, they should have seen what was going on. The reality is, if somebody wants to deliberately, lie, cheat, steal, and you know, trick people, it's hard to do. I mean, people, we see embezzlement occur and other crimes occur in all kinds of organizations, you know, municipalities and companies and all kinds of groups. I mean, if somebody's willing to, you know, to purposely deceive, it oftentimes is very hard to just, you know, instantly see that that's occurring. So I don't know that I fault the board too much on that. At some point it probably should have been noticed by somebody before it got to the point it got to, though, quite honestly. But again, somebody's gonna do something like that. It's hard to ever say that I'd never allow that to happen, because you can't say that.
Erosion on the city's waterfront has been an issue for the city. What would your plan be for mitigating that kind of damage?
Well, yeah, we've actually got a good plan in place. When I was the planner for the city, we actually had a citizen committee that was formed and spent money working with a consulting engineer to come up with an erosion control and waterfront redevelopment plan. My understanding is that the city is about to receive some funds through the State Port Authority that will actually implement that erosion control plan. The city actually presented some documents recently that show the work that will occur. And it looks pretty good. I think that's one of the things that we can point to as a bright spot, frankly, for Southport right now, is getting that erosion control plan in place.
You talk about communication and transparency. Citizen surveys are often part of that from municipalities.
Sure.
And so in this process, there was a citizen committee to work on this issue.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The most recent citizen survey that I could find for Southport was 2007. Is that the most recent?
I don't know. I wouldn't doubt it. Probably.
That's 12 and, years yeah, old.
Clearly, like I said, we need to do a better job of citizen involvement and citizen input.
And in that 12-year-old survey, which is probably obsolete, it's almost not worth even raising.
Right.
But there was 72% said that Southport should work to promote affordable owner-occupied housing in an effort to boost the percentage of owner-occupied housing units.
Mm-hmm.
How can Southport facilitate that?
All right. It's not going to be easy. Typically, and what I think we're probably talking about here, I want to make the distinction between, you know, public or subsidized housing and affordable housing or workforce housing, which would be affordable. We do have a lot of people who work in the service industry. Obviously, we've got a lot of restaurants, retail sales, and things of that nature that's not high-wage employment. And we need to have somewhere for those people to live in Southport. Typically, cities put some real money into those types of programs, and that's going to be hard for Southport to do. Quite frankly, especially, you know, given our primarily residential tax base, our low tax rate. We need to kind of step back and look at it, see what other cities our size have done, talk to the North Carolina Affordable Housing Coalition and see what they know, programs that maybe they have or that they've seen other places do that we could emulate. We could do some things, perhaps run water and sewer lines to a site free of charge, you know, as a contribution, kind of an in-kind contribution to offset some of the development costs that would in turn lower the cost of the housing that's built there. We got to get creative. We talked again to Golden Leaf Foundation about possible grants for workforce housing. We got to get creative and really look at what the options are.
Let's say that you are elected and you're finishing up your first term. You're looking back at what's different in Southport because you served. What is different?
I think what I would hope the biggest difference would be is that the division and the divisiveness and the mistrust between the community and the board has been healed, that people, the citizenry now trusts the board to do the right thing and communicate with them what's going on. Just that the citizens feel like that that we do a survey and 90%+ feel like that they know what the board is doing and trust what the board is doing. To me, that would really be the biggest thing.
You mentioned improving transportation and the situation for pedestrians in the city of Southport. What needs to happen there?
Yeah, well, we've got to work with DOT, first of all, on improving, putting in and improving crosswalks, other pedestrian access. We've got some sidewalk gaps that need to be filled in. We need to look and see if there's some type of traffic calming devices that can be utilized to try to slow the speed limits down, especially through the downtown and historic core area. We are somewhat hindered in that because Howe Street and Moore Street are NCDOT maintained roads. Anything that's done has got to be done with their blessing. But we had a very good pedestrian study, transportation and pedestrian study done a few years ago. And as far as I know, it's just sat on a shelf ever since. So it needs to be pulled off, looked at, and what can be implemented needs to be implemented. We also need to look at parking. We need to really do something down the Yacht Basin area. It's a very intense use, and it's a mess.
How is it
there,
a mess?
There's people, the sidewalks lead down there and then just suddenly end. People are they're forced to walk in the street. Cars are forced to drive around them. The parking is very ill-defined. There's a lot of people parking where they shouldn't be parking. It just, the whole thing needs to be cleaned up, and the pedestrian access needs to be made better down there. As far as I'm concerned, it's a huge safety issue. Somebody's going to get run over down there, and we need to do something about it.
Yeah, that's already happened, hasn't it?
Well, there was, unfortunately, a child was hit at the conclusion of the July the 4th festival a couple of years ago. Yeah, that's kind of a special case. But still, it points to the conflicts that exist between pedestrians and cars, and we've got to look at it.
Okay, so we've looked back in time. Let's look forward. Let's say that you are elected and you get one free pass. You get to take one issue or one project. You don't have to build consensus or find funding. You can shape it exactly the way you want it. Mm-hmm. What is it, and how does it go?
Well, I don't know. I hadn't even thought about it. That's a good question. I really hadn't thought about it. There's so many important issues. At this point right now, I'd probably say that we are able to bring satisfactory closure to the new wastewater treatment plant. We find the ideal site. We're able to get some additional grant money. It's bid out and comes in under budget. It gets built. It's working. Conflicts over it, die out and go away, and it becomes what it should be, which is an asset to the city, and it runs smoothly, and it's done from there.
Is there anything we haven't talked about that you think is really important for people to understand about who you are and who you would be on the board of aldermen?
No, I don't think so. Just, again, to reiterate, I think I have a tremendous wealth of experience in local government, working in local government, that I can bring to the table. I'm absolutely dedicated to improving the transparency and citizen involvement and healing some of the mistrust that is that currently exists between the city and the citizens and the city and the Board of Aldermen.
John Allen, thanks so much for coming in and sharing your views.
Thank you, Rachel. I appreciate it.